Thank you for downloading this podcast from Victory Outreach Manchester. We pray that this message will bless your life as you listen.
Praise the Lord. Man, I'm so excited. Just before you, I'm excited as seven clowns. You know, imagine seven clowns all being happy together. That's what I feel like on the inside, rather than just looking like a clown on the outside. Hallelujah. But you know, do you remember that movie Ghostbusters? Huh? You know what they used to say? If there's something strange in your neighborhood, who are you going to call? Right? But it's the same in the inner cities of the world, man. Because if there's something strange in the neighborhood, who do they call? Victory Outreach. You know why? Ask me why. Because you're amazing and you have the Spirit of God inside of you, and there is a boldness that comes upon you. Amen. I believe that some of these youth, I've been praying for it for years, that some of these young people are going to come, all of them, they're going to get saved. We're going to have football clubs. We're going to have sports tournaments. They're going to become wrestlers and boxers and jiu-jitsu players and judo players and champions. And they're going to play for Man United. And some of them, if they're really good, can play for West Ham. Huh? They can be doctors and lawyers and businessmen and butchers and bakers and candlestick makers, whatever it is. They can be pastors and teachers and apostles and prophets, evangelists. Imagine that. Imagine harnessing the power of that youth and that zeal and that passion and that boldness for Jesus Christ, and then sending them out. We got a mission going to Germany. Yeah, we'll come. We got a mission going to Glasgow. We'll come. We got a mission going to Birmingham. Who are you going to send? You're going to send the ones that are on fire. They got passion. Just got saved. The wild ones, like us. Come on now, look at someone with your wildest expression, and then take your seats and be cool. Huh? I'm excited, you can tell, man, but I have a tremendous privilege to preach God's word every week. I love it. And I love being in God's presence. I love being with him. You know, I used to be one of them kids out there on the streets causing mayhem and havoc. That was my life. I was out there doing all that madness. No one came and reached me when I was out there in the madness. And so I went deeper and deeper into the darkness until I came to the bottom, to the pit, to the end, to the very last place you want to go, the last stop before hell. Lost everything, gave up all of the privileges and all of the stuff that I had in front of me, because no one came and told me about Jesus. I was 27 when I got saved, and I'd lost everything, all my dignity and my health and, you know, everything I had, my opportunities. But it wasn't until Jesus Christ came and intervened in my miserable, lost, broken existence and turned me around and loved me for who I was, even regardless of the fact of what I'd done, and forgave my horrible sins and put me on his path, that my life all of a sudden started to make sense. But wouldn't it be good if we could get into prevention rather than just cure? You know, Victory Outreach, we have our homes, our men's and women's homes, and they are cures, because men and women come in and they get cured. They get cured of addiction. They're not just struggling every day. Yeah, some people backslide and make stupid, selfish decisions, but the fact is that when you've met Jesus Christ, there is no high like the Most High. When you have that purpose and that dignity. But I ain't even preaching about that today. Today I'm going to, because I'm just excited. You know, I'm excited. I get bored with just doing churches as usual. I love it when we reach out into darkness and go on mad missions. I love it when we're praying for people and they get healed. I love it when we're casting out demons, and not that we do that all the time, but it does happen. I love it. I love it when Jesus is manifesting himself in his glory and his beauty and his wonder and his amazing grace. Are you with me? Yes. It ain't just about what you look like, what you're driving, how much money you got in your account, and whether you're feeling nice, ticking a little Christian box. It's about living for Christ. It's about living living abundantly, overflowing, so that the joy that you have, it affects other people. That the power of God that has changed your life, it goes out and affects other people. Yes. That's the beauty of it. Are you with me? Yes. But it all depends, a lot of it, on who you're with. And I'm preaching the message today. It's got a weird title, man, but I'll explain it. It's called Transforming Your With. Transforming Your With. W-I-T-H. John's Gospel, chapter 1, verses 1 and 2, says, in the beginning, I'm reading from the New Living Translation. In the beginning, the Word already existed. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. He existed in the beginning with God. Obviously, the Word is the Logos. It is a representation of Jesus. Jesus is the Word, the expression, the manifest expression of God, the Godhead, who became human, lived amongst us, did miracles, disrupted the enemy's schemes, destroyed works of darkness, delivered people from madness and demonic oppression, and then died, and then went into the grave and took our sins and rose again from the dead on the third day, never to die again. And through his blood, we have access to the Father in heaven, and through his forgiveness, we can have eternal life with our sins cleansed and washed away. We can become new creations. We can be reconnected with the source of life. That's Jesus. But you'll notice that wherever you see Jesus, you don't see him doing stuff on his own. In fact, the beauty of God, the God that we serve, the triune God, that Trinity that we call it, is that there's a togetherness in everything that God does. So today I want us to have a look at the word with, specifically transforming your with, because if you transform your with, it can transform your life. Let's define what we mean about with. If you have a look through dictionaries, there's all different things that with means, but just a couple. With means to accompany. You know, like you're with someone, right? You're with someone, you're accompanying someone. It means to be in relation to. It means to have for yourself or to have in possession. So if we really can understand this, and if necessary, transform this in our lives, I really believe it's going to make a big difference in the quality of our lives. Because it's literally the difference between living your life as a performer and living your life as a partner. How many of you have ever lived as a performer? Come on now, I'm not talking about you were on the stage. Do you know what I mean? But you perform. Huh? You think that you have to perform, you have to be a certain way, do certain things to be accepted, to be fellowshipped with, to have friends, to be around certain people. And when it comes to life, and I include spiritual life in this, for those who have realized that Jesus is their Savior and they follow him, there are many people who do things to get something or somewhere. Oh, hello. How many of you, you understand what I'm talking about? I'm not going to get too much. And what happens is that when you're like that, when you do things to get somewhere or something, it can lead to a performance mindset, which then gives birth to wrong motives. You have wrong motives inside of you. These are like trying to impress others. People get into debt, don't they? Buying things they don't need with money they don't have to impress people they don't even like or know. Hello? Huh? I was at the Trafford Centre with my daughter the other day. She was going with her friend and they were trying on random clothes in all the shops. It was tremendous. But I was there. They were having great fun. They were getting outfits in Topshop. And they were going and, you know, trying on the maddest outfits and putting on high-heeled shoes and filming themselves. It was great. But I was there watching people. And it's a shopping mall, man. Why do you have to look like that? You're going shopping. But now to go shopping, you can't just fling on a tracksuit, go outside and go shopping. Are you with me? There's people in the skinniest jeans walking along, skinny t-shirts, big, big fake Louis Vuitton bags. Sister, that's not real. I feel like going up to someone saying, you know, that's not real. The problem is, they know it's not real. £500 Valentino trainers. Shut up, you're 15. You know you got them from Cheetah Mill. Come on now. Huh? For those of you watching from across the world, there's a place in Manchester where shops just open with no signs above them and people go in and they buy designer fake stuff. You would think that it would be a very undercover thing, but they do it openly. And then they wear them and they're actually quite good, but you can tell. So you have motives, like you're trying to impress others, scoring brownie points with God. Well, if I fast twice a week and give a tithe of my mint and rue, that's in the Bible. That was the Pharisee looking at the tax collector saying, I'm glad I'm not like him. I fast twice a week and give a tithe of all my mint and rue, whatever that is. Scoring brownie points with God. I'm wearing the right things. I have the right robes. I have a hat that is very long and tall. And I have a big Bible. I come to church. I pray an hour in the morning. Here's the thing. What I can't get my head around is people that will pray for an hour in the morning, and as soon as that hour is finished, to the minute, they'll go away and get in the flesh with everyone. It's almost like, what have you been doing in that hour, man? You know what I mean? Trying to score brownie points with God? Huh? Bible reading plan? If it's not changing your life, then what is it doing? Selfish ambition, positional stuff. You want to get into leaders' meetings because you think that they're closer to God there, you know? It's like you'll get a better position in heaven if you go up there with a leader's badge. Serious. Where comes I'm not in the leaders' meeting? You can't even follow anyone. What about gaining recognition? Huh? I mean, social media is okay, right? It's neutral. We can use it, but use it for the furtherance of the kingdom. Use it to draw people into God's presence. Use it to encourage people. Don't use it so that you can say how many followers you've got, how many friends. They're not your friends. I have nearly 5,000 friends on Facebook. Half of them I've never even met. Some people even come up to me and go, hi, how you doing, when I'm at conferences? And I'll be honest with you, I don't even know who you are. We're just friends on Facebook. And just because you can see me, do you understand what I mean? Gaining recognition. How many people want to be a celebrity? Who's ever watched The X Factor and seen some of the random things that come on? Britain's Got Talent, all these celebrity shows where people are on there trying to gain recognition. Wrong motives that come from a performance mentality. Trying to pay God back. Some people try and pay God back. I've messed up this time, so I'll do this later on, and that'll pay you back, God. Huh? Or then the performance mentality means that you can be compelled or coaxed into doing things that you don't want to do just because you want to gain something with someone else. Does that hit home with anyone right now? Huh? And you can end up with this performance mindset by being crippled by guilt. Some of you know guilt can cripple you. When you're not performing well enough, or you think you've failed, or you don't think you've matched up. Come on now. And then you don't do what it is you're supposed to do. And the next thing, it's like you're given a task and you don't execute it. And then what you do is you just let it run on and 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 run on until you hopefully you think that one day it's going to run out and everyone's going to forget about it. like paying your tax, paying your car tax, paying your phone bill, paying your parking ticket, doing whatever, doing the job that you was meant to do, and you just let it run on and run on and run on, hoping that everyone's going to forget about it, but they don't. And then when it's all pulled up and it's all exposed, then you get crushed and you feel like a failure. And then you pull back and you step back and you don't want to get involved anymore. And then you try and do, you go over and above trying to pay it back. You're crippled with guilt. You're walking around thinking, I'm a failure. And then you don't want to do it again because it's a performance mindset. Or you can get destroyed by pride because you do things all right. You do things okay. You tick the boxes. You ain't doing too bad. And the next thing, you start thinking that you are who you're portraying yourself to be to everyone else, when really and truly, it's a performance. That's the face of it. I see people like that come to church all the time, go to conferences all the time. They go to conferences and everything's wonderful. Their lippy is on. They're looking good. Their hair is done. Their clothes are nice. Their hallelujah is in the right key. They lift up their arms at the right point in the song. They say hi and gush to the right people. But everyone knows that most of the time they're in the flesh. Everyone's like, whoa. Everyone's messed up now. Huh? You can be destroyed by pride if you think that you've achieved something for God. Woo! Yeah, I've achieved something, God. Huh? But the problem with all of this stuff, this performance mentality, is that it becomes all about you and what you do. And it gets exhausting. Are you with me? It burns you out, man. You're doing everything for someone else, for someone else, for something else. But that's not God's will for your life. He don't even want you to do things for him. Whoa. Everyone's checking their theology right now. Huh? The key is to transform your performance into a partnership. When you see this, you do this, you're naturally better off. And spiritually, you'll definitely be better off. King Solomon explained it like this in Ecclesiastes chapter 4, verse 7 through 12. He said, I observed another example of something meaningless under the sun. This is the case of a man who is all alone, without a child or brother, yet works hard to gain as much wealth as he can. But then he asks himself, who am I working for? Why am I giving up so much pleasure now? It is all so meaningless and depressing. Two people are better off than one, for they can help each other succeed. Oof. Partnership. If one person falls, the other person can reach out and help. But someone who falls alone is in real trouble. Likewise, two people lying close together can keep each other warm. But how can one be warm alone? A person standing alone can be attacked and defeated, but two can stand back to back and conquer. Three are even better, for a triple braided cord is not easily broken. This is the power of partnership. Doing things with someone else is so much better than doing it alone. Can someone give me a big amen?
Amen.
Huh? And I think we can all agree that who we do things with has a massive effect on our lives. Huh? Doing things with someone is very different than just doing things for someone. It's the difference between being an employee or a partner, or the difference between being a slave and being a son. So my question to you is, who are you with? You know, when I was back in my dark old days, in the BC days, when I was a kid, we had a little gang. We had a big gang. It was about 30 of us. We used to go into different areas, and sometimes you'd have people come out riding on their bikes, or they'd come out and they'd come walking out from the flats or from the places, and someone would come out and say, who are you with? Anyone ever had that? Who are you with? And then you say, we're with these, or we're with this, or we're this, and we're that. and it'd either, you know, they'd either run away or it'd go, it'd get on, you know what I mean? Who you with? And you tell them who you were with, who you were representing, who you were with. We're together, we're in this, we're a gang, we're this. We're from this area, you're from that area. Are you with me? Are you with me? Yes. Even we use that expression, huh? You with me? Are you with me? You get me? Man, get me them. Man, don't get me though. Huh? Man's not hot. Who are you with? You might be with someone who's got a nose like a garden hose. Huh? But who you spend time with is really important. Who you spend time with, not who you do things for. Who you spend time with is really important. So you can spend time with miserable people. And it don't matter whether you've woke up in the morning and everything's wonderful. You've looked in the mirror and like what you see. You put on clothes that you feel good in. You go out into a sky with sun in it and beautiful birds chirping outside your front door. Get into a car that you like. Drive to a place that you're really looking forward to going and get there, and then you get round people who are miserable. And then what happens? You do your best to cheer them up. But if you're around them enough, you're just going to get sucked down into their wound-licking, leprous dog community. Some of you know there's communities of people that are just miserable. They're like communities of leprous dogs licking each other's wounds and only ever, never producing health, but only ever sharing their nastiness with each other. Huh? You can spend time with unhealthy people and you'll become unhealthy. Listen, you can be the fittest person in the world. You can be as fit as a butcher's dog. You can get up and you can run 5 miles in the morning. You can eat oats, drink nasty stuff. You know, you can take vitamin pills and do all that stuff. But if you hang around with some couch potatoes for long enough and you don't go out running, let me tell you, you have to maintain a six-pack. You have to maintain fitness. Hello, it don't just stay there naturally. Trust me. And sometimes Christians can be the most unhealthy people. It's like they're just waiting for their glorified body and they don't care about this one. It's going to perish anyway. I might as well eat, drink, and be merry. But unhealthy, miserable people, guess what you're going to become like? Unhealthy and miserable. Huh? 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 33 says, bad company corrupts good character. It's just how it is. But if you're with overcomers, or you're with winners, or truly righteous people, that rubs off too. And it helps you transform. That's why I'm so excited about getting these young people. See, the council might not know what to do with them. The police might not want to spend time touching them. There might be other people that are scared of them. But how many of you know it's just because they're all in their little environment together, rubbing off on each other. But you put them in light. You put them around winners. You put them around overcomers. You get them around people that start to show them that there is a way forward, that you don't have to be like that. You don't have to perform just to fit in. You can actually be with people that want to encourage you to become everything that you can become. And boom, there is something that happens. That's what church is all about. Huh? And there's no one better to be with than Jesus. One of the most amazing things about being a follower of Jesus is that he shows us how God wants us to be with him and do things with him. See, when you study the life of Jesus, you can clearly see that he did everything with his Father, not for his Father. And with God, nothing is impossible. And because Jesus spent so much time with his Father in prayer, I'm not just talking about, you know, there were times when he would go away onto a mountaintop to pray and fast and focus, but every moment of every day he was there with the Holy Spirit telling him what to do. Meet this person, touch that person, release this power, deal with that darkness, go here, don't go there. Every moment of the day he was with his Father, he was with the Holy Spirit, he was with them, and nothing was impossible for him. He wasn't a performance. He wasn't doing it to try and gain recognition. He was doing it because it was the right thing to do. A partnership with the Creator, the living God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit is powerful. You want to pray for miracles? Be with God. You want to see breakthrough in your life? Be with God. You want direction in your life? Be with the Holy Spirit from the moment you wake up to the moment you go to sleep. Ask him questions, speak to him, whisper prayer. Ask him, say, should I go here or go there? Should I do this or do that? You don't have to get down on your knees, beat yourself. You just be with him. It's like if I'm with my wife and we're going out shopping and I want to go somewhere, say, should we go here or should we go there? I don't have to wait and go away and say, wait a minute, I have a question for you, Vic. Let me just go away for an hour and let me think about it and start to get all the stuff together so I can come out to you and ask you, should we have turned right there? All the rituals, performance. But being with someone is powerful. Being with God is powerful. Huh? It's fulfilling. You know, when you're with God, it's just everything's right. It don't matter if it's raining. Huh? Hallelujah. I know the sun's out somewhere. Might be raining outside, but the sun is arising in my heart. Hallelujah. And also, when you're with God, it's energizing. You know when you feel burnt out, when you feel weary, when you don't want to come to church, you're a little bit bored of it, probably you backslid. You just backslid a little bit. I'm not talking about you off taking drugs, running around lying, stabbing people, murdering and thieving. You're just doing things yourself. You've slipped into a little bit of performance. You're trying to make it happen yourself. You ain't connected with God. You're running on fumes. It's like driving your car and you ain't put no fuel in it for a while. You ain't put no air in the tires. And the next thing, you're having a few problems. It's the same as when you're not with God, when you're not connected with him. Then you're just existing on your own. And it's tiring, it's exhausting. And it's because of you. With God, you'll know peace. Huh? That surpasses all understanding. That will guard the way you feel and the way you think in Christ Jesus, your heart and your mind. Huh? You'll never be alone. You'll never be alone with God. When I got saved, I was single for 7 years. 7 years. And I hadn't been single a lot before that. Huh? But then 7 years, man, I'm like, I've got saved and that's it. I'm done. God's put me on a shelf. And I was worried about being up on a shelf. And then one day he said, better than me throwing you in the bin. I'd rather be a tin on a shelf than a tin in the bin. You know what I mean? But God wanted to do some stuff. He wanted me to be with him. He didn't want me to rely on someone else to get my needs met, for someone else to talk to me and someone else to love me and someone else to be with me and someone else to protect me and someone else to provide for me and someone else for me to find my worth in. He wanted me to get to know him and be with him. So I was cool with him. So I was fine with him. So I had peace with him and I had power with him. And I was never alone because I was always with him. And even when I felt lonely, when I'd go to weddings and I'd see all my friends and peers getting married and they were uglier than me. And I was like, what is going on? There is no justice in the world. He's ugly, man. He has a nose like a garden hose. What is this? And here I am. I'm not that bad looking and I'm quite cool and I love the Lord and I'm doing okay and I've got two eyes and two legs and one head. And everyone's just passing me by, walking on by, and God said, but you're never alone because you're always with me. And you'll never be without essentials for life. Love the Lord with all your heart. Huh? Trust in him. Seek his righteousness. And all the things that you're ever going to need to be added to you. Because you're with God. How does it happen? I don't know. It's a miracle. Miracles happen. They're not always someone's leg growing or someone jumping out of a wheelchair and running around with a crutch in the air. Sometimes it's just the fact that you don't know how it happens, but if you look back, then your bills got paid, you got food in the cupboard, you got a roof over your head. Come on now, your kids ain't doing too bad. Things are changing in your life. You feel better than you did. Psalms 84, verse 10 says, a single day in your courts is better than 1,000 anywhere else. I would rather be a gatekeeper in the house of my God than live the good life in the homes of the wicked. And that's what this church is all about. We don't focus on membership with its pressure to perform. We focus on partnership with its ability to expand and accelerate health and growth. So journey with us. Worship with us. And we'll work with you to see you become everything you were created to become. We'll pray with you. We'll laugh with you. We'll cry with you. We'll stand with you. We'll believe with you. Together. With each other. Three really important things I want us to pray about. Number one, your identity. This is about knowing who you are. When you're clear about who you are and who you belong to, it'll influence who you spend time with. If you think you're a loser, you'll spend time with losers. But if you understand you're a winner and an overcomer and a conqueror, then you're going to spend time with them. You're either one of God's children or you can become one with all the benefits of his presence and his power. Number two, pray about your destiny. This is about the journey that God has marked out for you. And when this becomes clear, you'll know who to journey with and who to avoid. Man, I wish I'd known I had a destiny in Christ when I was 15 years old. Then I wouldn't have hung about with all of the gangsters and the lunatics and the drug addicts. I would have stayed with the sports people and the people going to university. I would have stayed with the people that had a future and they were holding on to it. I would have gone to church. I would have got to know God. I would have been a missionary. I would have done all of these tremendous things instead of wasting 10 years of my life in darkness and death and madness and chaos because of destiny. Your destiny in a nutshell is to go forward in life following Jesus and do the good works that you've been created to do. And you do it with God and the people who will help you to be who you're really supposed to be. And you'll keep doing it until you reach your final destination, which is an eternity with God. Number three, pray about this, your humility. Your humility. This is about knowing where you really stand and being good with it. That's humility. It's about knowing who you are, what you're meant to do. Humility creates an ease about being with the right people. Even when you can't see how it's possible you're even in this place or position or you have this possibility in your life, because you just accept that it's where God has enabled you to be through his grace. I'm a Cockney ex-junkie gangster, simply. Can't speak very well, look weird, got a mad background, but I've spoken before thousands of people, 25,000 people, doctors, lawyers, businessmen, politicians. Wow. And when I stand on the pulpit and I've got all of these professionals standing there waiting to receive the word of God from me, it used to make me feel weird. I went into a point once when I was like, oh, I don't know if I can do this. What have I got to do? And the Lord said to me, it's my grace, son. You're just in your lane. You're in your zone. I'm not going to find the cure to AIDS. That ain't my zone, man. I might never be a billionaire, but that ain't my zone. My zone is that I am a communicator of God's word. I am a vessel for his power and his presence. I'm just someone that can tell you simply about the things that God wants you to know for this time, that you can apply them in your life and that you can become everything that God created you to become. And if he puts me in the place and he opens the door, then humbly I'm just going to go into it because I know that that's just where he wants me to be. And I don't have to perform to be there because God's put me there. Amen. Are you with me? That's humility. It's not thinking less of yourself. It's just thinking about yourself less. Don't worry about it. I ain't got to perform for you. I don't even have to perform for God. I'm doing it with him. I'm in partnership. He's put me here. He wants to use my voice. Where has he put you? What does he want to do with you? See, humility keeps you in your lane, in your zone, in your power spot. Whatever role you're playing or need you're meeting at that moment. I've done everything. I've been in a gang. I've preached for women's conferences. I've been a missionary. I've run the home. I've done all of the things. I've cleaned the toilets, been a caretaker. I've been a builder. But in all those things, I didn't have to perform. Because I was with God. And he would give me opportunity to speak and witness and be and shine and glow. And humility becomes solid when you're with the right people. Being with God will keep you humble. Because whenever you think you've done something good and you come into the presence of Almighty God, whenever you've come up with the lyrics of a wonderful song, a song of revival, whenever you've sung beautifully at the Good Vibes Only, whenever you've pulled some moves, whenever you've preached a good sermon, there's always the seraphim flying around the throne that can sing better than you. Imagine going before the Lord and saying, how was that sermon, Lord? And he goes, ha, 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 let's ask Elijah to come and check it out. Paul, where are you? Come and see how good this sermon was. Was it theologically correct? Or you've sacrificed. You say, Lord, how much have I sacrificed for you? He says, where's that woman that washed my feet with her tears and dried them with her hair? Can you come over here and check this sacrifice out, please? And when you're with the right people, they're going to inspire you. Not in competition, but just because, man, let's do this. Let's do it. Let's see God's glory shine. Don't matter who gets the credit, as long as God gets the glory. Let's do it with him. Let's enjoy being with him, with each other. Let's move together. Let's go out with each other. Let's march together in rank as an army. Let's laugh with each other and cry with each other and give with each other and bless with each other and be with each other and keep going forward. And the effect of this is that you won't have anything to prove, just lots to give. So as you're with, does it need a tweak? Is there some people you need to let loose? Some people you need to start hanging with, or some people you need to stop hanging with? You need to get with God more than just for a performance? Then there's no time like the present, man. So let's just stay and let's stand and let's pray. Come, let's stand and let's pray. And just tell the Lord, I want to be with you. I want to be with you. Just close your eyes, lift up your hands, and just say, Lord, I want to be with you. I want to be with you. Start praying right now. I want to be with you, Lord. I want to be with the right people. I want to be with it. That word with is so powerful. Lord, help me to remember the with in my life. The with. Not just the where I want to be or the things I want to have, but the with. Help me to remember my with. I don't want to be with the gossips. I don't want to be with the people that are messing around. I don't want to be with the liars or the thieves. I don't want to be with the compromisers. I want to be with the winners, the overcomers. I want to be with you, oh God. I don't want to have to perform to be with the right crowd. I want to be with the right crowd, and they're the ones that I won't have to perform to get involved with. They love me for who I am. They're cheering me on. They want me to do the best I can. Come on, let's begin to pray right now. Lord, be with us right now in this place. Holy Spirit, I pray you're going to manifest yourself in our lives. Oh God, we have your word, and your word is never returns to your void. It's always complete. We need no other revelation of Jesus Christ than the one that we have received. But Holy Spirit, you are our helper. You are the one that comes alongside. You are the one who stands with us and for us. You are the voice behind us saying, this is the way, walk in it. You are our teacher and you are our guide, and you remind us of these things and you challenge us and shape us. And God, in this place right now, I pray that there will be no atmosphere of performance in this church. There will be of partnership, that there will be a multiplication of application, that there will be a multiplication of acceleration. Because if one can put 1,000 to flight and two can put 10,000 to flight, then my God, when we're working together, we're so much more effective in seeing your kingdom come and your will done, and you're the expansion of your light and your kingdom in our city and our nation and our generation. God, just show us who we are. Come on, just cry out for a minute. Worship him. Worship him. Worship him. Worship him. Thank him that you can be with him. Thank him that he will never leave you. He will never forsake you. He'll never cut you loose. He'll never drop you out. It's only when you detach that you're in danger of not having all the things he says. It's only when you don't know him that there is the consequence of sin in your life to that degree. But when you're in him, and when you're with him, and when you know him, and when you're covered by his blood, and when you stay with him and abide in him, and you're there with him, oh, there is peace, there is joy, there is strength, there is goodness, there is wonder, there is power, there's a release. We can worship him. We can praise him. You can walk as a winner. You can walk as a champion. You're beholden to no one but him. You're free. Free to be. Hallelujah. Free to be. Free to live. Free to breathe. Free to do. Walking with him. Speaking with him. Living with him, breathing with him. Hallelujah, Lord. Glory to your name, Jesus. Oh, come, Holy One, come, Holy One.
Victory Outreach Manchester is a family in the city, and we are here for you. Visit us every Sunday at 9 a.m. and 11:30 a.m. Go to victoryoutreachmanchester.com for more information. See you soon.